Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Talladega, you're in the pit stop with Tenda Spain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Hey, this is Grant Enfinger, driver of the Beasley Allen Alamo Rental Car, number 23 Chevrolet, and you're listening to The Pit Stop with Tim Despain.
Good evening from Talladega, Alabama. I'm Tim Despain. Stephen Wilson has the night off. He's a little bit under the weather. Stephen, if you're listening, bud, get well soon. Got a big show tonight. We've got from NBC Sports and Sirius XM Radio, we've got Jerry Bonkowski coming on. And also, we've got your 2015 ARCA Racing Champion, Mr. Grant Enfinger, coming on. And after all this, we're going to do a little 2015 look back on the NASCAR season. Reverend Joe Bubico is going to stay on, too. We're going to bring him on here in just a second. We're going to do the invocation and get everything started. But the number to call in is 215-383-3681. Again, we're live from Talladega, Alabama. We're going to bring Reverend Joe in and get everything started. That's been Reverend Joe and the Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson. Reverend Joe, how you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing okay, Tim. How you doing?
I'm doing good. We're hanging in there. Still got a little bit of spring-like weather down here, but that you've tied the knots, you've moved up in the northwest, have you, buddy?
Yeah, and boy, you know, it's only rained once since I got here. It started the day after I got here and ended yesterday. So it's going to rain tomorrow. So it's been a fun month.
Yeah, and you know what that is? That's the good Lord getting you back because you said you hate rain.
Exactly. So it's just fun, you know. What can I tell you? I've always said I don't think the Lord pays attention to weather prayers at all, because for every person that's praying for snow, another one's praying that doesn't snow. So I think he ignores the weather altogether.
Exactly, Reverend Joe. I think he does, too. And, you know, I don't know if you heard me earlier. Suzanne, I had you in the screening room. We've got from NBC Sports and Sirius XM. NASCAR Channel 9, and we got Jerry Bonkowski coming on. Stephen Wilson's a little bit under the weather. And then we've got your 2015 ARCA Racing Series champion, Grant Enfinger. He's going to come on the same time with Jerry. We'll do all that deal, and then we'll let them go and get out of there, because I know their time is limited also. And then we'll take some calls and get your ups and downs on the 2015 NASCAR season. It ain't got to be the Sprint Cup Series. It could be the Camp Oil Truck Series, Xfinity Series, if you want to call in about ARCA. You know, this is our final show of 2015. We're going to take off for a couple of weeks, Reverend Joe, for Christmas and New Year's. But I thank you for agreeing to stay on also, and you got the floor, bud. Let's crank everything up.
All righty, let's get rolling. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We ask you to heal Stephen and get him back healthy and give him a great holiday. We also ask you to find our wonderful boss of this real radio station, find her a job. We know she needs one. And we ask you to bless everyone during the off season, no matter what line of work they're in. Bless our fans. Bless all the drivers, all the crew members, all the people involved with auto racing, all the people in this country. Guide our leaders. Be with all of our soldiers and all those that wear uniforms who protect us and keep us safe. And as we come into this time of the year that we celebrate the birth of your son, Jesus Christ, who came here to die for us. He was born to die for us, to be an atonement for our sins, to eliminate them forever if we'll just have faith in him. That's all that's asked of us. So we ask you, please, Lord, to be with us, guide us, and bless us throughout this entire season and through every day of our life. And we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Reverend Jeff. Joe, as always, great invocation. And again, we want to thank you, the staff here, which you're part of the staff at Pit Stop Radio and Speedway Digest also. We want to thank you again for being our official reference of the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Glad to do it and honored to be with you guys. And it's a lot of fun. Also, by the way, as I was talking to Susanna about, you know, she's looking for a job, I suggested that it would be easier if she just got you too. And she didn't think you'd like that idea.
Pretty good one, Reverend Joe. That is. And, you know, coming up here before we got our two guests coming on, Reverend, I want to let you go ahead and get out there where everybody can follow you at on social media and your website. And, you know, go ahead and get that over with before I forget. So you got the floor again, Reverend. Go ahead.
All righty. It's ontrackwithjesus.org is our website. And there's also a place on there where you can click on donate and help support us so we can do the work we'd love to do for the Lord. And also, you can reach me at ontrackwithjesus@aol.com. That's my email address. My phone number is 951-232-7630. And that's the easiest way to reach me. I'm also on Facebook at Rev Joe Bubico. Easy enough to find me, or look on Tim's site. You'll find me on there. Easy enough to get to me. Glad to hear from everybody. I post some scripture on there every morning and some more every evening. And have any questions, call me. Send me a note. Be glad to answer them. If I don't know the answer, I'll find it for you. So we hope you all have a great, blessed holiday season. And let's get on with the show.
Exactly, Reverend Joe. And, you know, just our preacher out here, you know, at Limbaugh Chapel, where Suzanne and I go, he's a real good also. But he's, I think y'all are following each other. Aren't you and Billy Eberson following each other? I think y'all are. I think I suggested you.
I'm sorry? Say that again?
Mine and Suzanne's preacher out here, before we go at Limbaugh Chapel, Billy Eberson. Aren't y'all following each other? Also?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, okay. And, Reverend Joe, I know you don't get to talk to Todd very much. A big supporter of the show, everything that we all do, and we support everything that his do, that his do, listen to me, everything that he does. And his home track is upstate New York, Watkins Glen, and they do a lot for autism and stuff. So I'm gonna bring Todd on. We don't want to bring Todd on later, but Todd's already called in, so I'm going to bring Todd on, and I want to let you and Todd talk a little bit, and then we'll get everything else going. So let's bring Todd in the pit stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson. Todd, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm trying to stay warm.
I understand that. Todd, you know, you're upstate New York. We over here on the East Coast, and Reverend Joe is up there in Seattle. Reverend Joe moved out of sunny California to Seattle, where he said he hated rain. But I know y'all have not got to talk much, so Todd, you and Reverend talk a little bit before we bring our guest on. Y'all got the floor.
How you doing, Reverend Joe?
I'm doing good, Todd. It's good to talk with you. You know, I've lived in the Northeast for many years and raced all around up there in New York and all over Connecticut and every other place, wherever they were foolish enough to let me in. And know Watkins Glen pretty well, but that's 35, 40 years ago, for Pete's sake, since I've been to Watkins Glen. But raced a lot of the local tracks up there on and off.
Okay, all right, not to pick on you about your age, but when back then, was the track in place at that time, or were they still doing the street racing?
It's kind of funny you asked that, because Watkins Glen got the idea, NASCAR got the idea of running the cup cars, which were Grand National, I believe, if I remember right, at that time, at Watkins Glen. And they weren't sure it was a good idea or whether it would work out or not. And they asked the modified group, which I was a part of in the Northeast, to come out there and race for this big event they put on. And it was the first time ever that oval track race cars had been on the road course at Watkins Glen. And, boy, I remember some of the guys had fits over it because they were like, we're not supposed to be turning left and right. And as I recall, it took me 17 hours to haul out there back then. But it was, well, from what I see on TV these days, it wasn't a lot different then than it is now. But it was an experiment, and it evidently worked out pretty good because, as you know, the modifieds still race out there, and so the cup cars and so on and so forth. So it was a smart move by NASCAR in the long run. But as far as the configuration of the track and all, it doesn't look a ton different. Though there's, you know, when I look at it on TV, I see more barriers and safer barriers and different such things that we didn't have back then.
Yeah, this year I went to the Vintage racing down there, and I learned a lot about the history of the whole Watkins Glen, and got to meet drivers from 1948, and was a ball. And, you know, yes, our home track is a road course, which I do like, but I do like my long track too.
Where else do you whereabouts are you? Whereabouts do you live? Are you closest to Watkins Glen, or whereabouts are you up there?
Well, I just moved, and right now I am up in Canton, New York, right along the St. Lawrence River. I can look across
right.
the river and see Canada.
Well, that's not bad.
I don't think you can get too much closer to Canada.
Yeah, I've been feeling that way up here in Seattle. I keep telling my lovely new wife that I think I moved to another country, but I'm not sure. But just so you know, I'm not totally insane. I haven't given up my house in California. So, yeah. But I had suggested that maybe we should summer in Seattle and winter in California, but we've got some other issues that kind of make that not possible at the moment. But it's I grew up in the Northeast, so this kind of weather isn't a shock to me by any means, but you know, at my age, which is 67, this is back to after 30 years of almost 30 years in California, back to what I left after 37 years. Though I got to be honest about it, when I left the Northeast, my attitude was, I want to live in California where it's warmer and where I can race 12 months a year. At my age, I've gotten to the point where I'm still racing. Matter of fact, this next year, if I get to do some racing, if some funds come in to do that, it'll be my 51st year of playing with race cars. And
wow.
It's changed a lot over the years. And here the season's much shorter because of the weather. And I'll be glad because I can tell you, when I lived in New England, we'd get around to maybe the beginning of October. Actually, we'd get to somewhere in late August, and you were thinking, my equipment needs to be rebuilt, and can't wait for the winter season to come so I can relax a little and get it rebuilt and so on. As time has gone on in the last 20 years probably, I think I get to June and I start thinking, when's the end of the season? But, you know, in California, there's almost always someplace you can go racing. Here now in Washington, it's a little shorter season, and they race here the Pro 4 Series, which we used to race down in Southern California, haven't in the last 5 or 6 years. And I've got a great Pro 4 that I've been sitting in my yard covered up for years, waiting, and everybody telling me, bring it to Washington and sell it. But I decided to bring it to Washington and hopefully race it this next year, a little bit anyway. So
that'd be cool.
Yeah. That sounds good, Reverend. And
find some backing.
You
too,
Todd. Yeah, exactly. You got to have backing. But, gentlemen, we've got our first guest coming on. We've got driver of the Alamo Rental, car number 23 Chevy, and your 2015 ARCA Racing Series champion, Mr. Grant Enfinger. Let's bring Grant into the pit stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Grant, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing great. Thank you all for having me on the show again.
Grant, you're very welcome. And right off the bat, I want to go ahead and congratulate you on winning your first ARCA Series Championship presented by Menards. Let me find my bud. Here we go. A big shout-out to Mr. Grant Enfinger from the Pit Stop Radio on SpeedwayDigest.com.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. We definitely had one heck of a year this year.
Oh, yeah, you did, Grant. I mean, and, you know, I've looked up stats and stuff. You know, we also talked at Talladega back in the spring. You know, this year, correct me if I'm wrong, Grant, you won. It was either three in a row this year and four in a row last year, right?
Nope, it was three in a row to begin the year, both this year and last year. So that's something pretty cool. And got six wins overall and just really had incredible cars from Daytona all the way to the last race in Kansas.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you got that, Grant, you got that championship ring this past weekend up at Indianapolis. I seen the picture of it on ArcaRacing.com. How does it feel to be the 2015 ARCA Racing Series champion?
You know, it definitely feels good. It's something I've worked long and hard for. And, you know, coming in second last year, maybe made it that much sweeter this year, you know. So everything just played out the way we wanted it to and the way we needed it to. And we really had a stellar season. We had some bad luck as well, you know, but we were able to overcome it. And like I said, the biggest thing is we just had really fast race cars at GMS Racing all year long.
Yeah, and also too, Grant, either last year, you know, I think it was the year before. Correct me if I'm wrong. You know, my mind's rolling here. The Motor Honey deal. I mean, you know, they were just gonna come on for just like a one race deal or a few race deal. Am I right? And then all of a sudden, you just started winning, and everything went from that to what you are now with the Alamo stuff, with GMS Racing.
Yeah, you know, it was definitely a crazy year last year. Changed teams halfway through the season to come over here to GMS Racing. We just weren't going to finish out the season with where I was at. And man, what a dream come true. Everybody just welcomed me with open arms. And like I said, I've had really, really good equipment. And had good speed in the cars every time we went to the track. So can't say enough about Allegiant Travel, like you mentioned, Alamo Rental Car, Triple K Construction, and Worth USA. Those are the guys that really made this year possible.
That's awesome, Grant. That's awesome. And like I said, we've got our Reverend Joe. After, you know, we do all this other stuff, we're going to do our 2015 throwback stuff and the ups and downs and everything. But at this time, Grant, I know your time is limited, but I've got my good friend from NBCSports.com and SiriusXM Channel 90 NASCAR, Mr. Jerry Boncaski. Let's bring Jerry into the pit stop. Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Jerry, how you doing tonight, bud? We got a big crowd. The phone lines is lighting up. How's it going?
Well, I'm doing good. Thank you again for having me on. So, talking to you tonight, Grant, congratulations on a great year for you, and also good luck in the truck program with next year in 2016. You had a hell of a year this year, and looking for some big things from you with the truck series next year as well, too.
Thank you very much. We're definitely pumped up and already working for 2016 right now.
Jerry, you got the floor, bud. Go ahead.
What's that? I didn't hear what you said, Tim.
I think Jerry might have. I think Jerry dropped, Grant. But anyway,
I'm still here.
I'm sorry, Jerry.
Yeah, I'm still here.
I'm sorry, Jerry. Go ahead. Go ahead. You got the floor, bud.
Okay. Well, I was just gonna say. I mean, you know, it was a heck of a year for a lot of drivers. Grant obviously had a great year in his series, and then looking forward to him coming over to the Truck Series in 2016. You know, it was Jeff Gordon's final season. We're looking ahead to Tony Stewart's final season in 2016. Kyle Busch wins the championship. I don't think anybody could have predicted that, especially after he had that wreck in February. I mean, it's just been a really spectacular season from one end of the spectrum to the other end of the spectrum. And 2016 is going to be difficult for them everybody in NASCAR to top what happened in 2015. Of course, we said you know, we wouldn't be able to top 2014, and we certainly did. So I'm very happy that it was a good season, and looking forward to an even better season in 2016 for everybody.
And Grant, Jerry touched on a little bit about your truck deal. I know Stephen Wilson posted some stuff on his site, SpeedwayDigest.com. I think Jerry might have posted some stuff on the NBC Sports stuff too. Can you let the cat out of the bag? Exactly how many races are you going to run in the NASCAR Camp World Truck Series next year?
You know, the goal is to go the full season. Everything is not done to make that happen at this point, but that's everybody's goal there at GMS and myself. So. We're really, really pushing hard right now to finalize some of these deals. And, man, really, really pumped up for everything going on at GMS Racing. So we'll have three trucks there with Spencer Gallagher, Johnny Sauter, and myself. And really, really pumped up for it. I've got Jeff Snakewitz coming back, who was Spencer Gallagher's full-time crew chief in the truck series. And he was also my crew chief in the ARCA series. So. I'm going to be able to stay with him next year, and like I mentioned earlier, we're already wide open in the shop working on next year's truck, so I'm pumped up about it.
Grant, what's going to be the biggest change for you going from the ARCA series to a truck? I mean, a totally different vehicle, certainly a different level of competition. How are you kind of approaching how 2016 will begin for you? I mean, you know, everybody always says, you know, when you leave ARCA, you go to the Truck Series or the Xfinity Series, there's a little bit of a learning curve and things like that. How are you kind of approaching all that?
Well, the good thing is I've done some one-off races in the Truck Series, so I've been in a truck before, and I know what's so different about it. You know, it's that the aero platform to the tires are the biggest change for me in the driver's seat. And that's something that, you know, it's going to take some getting used to. And we're not going to get it right off the bat. It's going to take a few races maybe, but with the quality of the trucks that we're building at GMS Racing, I've got no doubt that we'll be a contender here even early on in the season.
Out of curiosity, you said you're trying to hopefully going to do the whole 23-race schedule. Will there be any opportunities for you to go either maybe do some one-off racing in ARCA or maybe some other series at all? I mean, or are you just strictly going to be focused 100% on the trucks in 2016?
As of right now, we're focused 100% on the truck series, and that's how our world revolves at GMS Racing when we go into the shop every morning. So we're that's definitely the focus, not to say that something couldn't change in the future, but that's what everybody's goals are, and that's what we're trying to do is build the fastest trucks that we possibly can.
How much of it?
And
Grant. Oh, go ahead, Tim.
I'm sorry, Jerry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jerry.
I was just gonna ask Grant one other question. How much of a dream come true is this for you? I mean, you know, this is what you've been working for all these years, and now it's here. I mean, how much? How are you trying to maintain your composure and not be like a kid in a candy store because you know that this is what you've always wanted to do, and now you're here to do it?
You know, that's a good question because, you know, this has been what I've been working towards my whole life. And you know, there's lots of young kids that seem like that get these opportunities. But you know, I'm 30 years old now. I've been racing a long time. I've been racing for a living for a long time. So, you know, I try to keep everything kind of evened out. The highs get really high and the lows get really low. So, you know, I feel like I do a pretty good job of just kind of staying in the middle. But it is difficult sometimes. You know, I gotta pitch myself every once in a while and realize, you know, where we came from and where we're at now.
And just to touch on a little bit about what Jerry had mentioned earlier, Grant, about the the trucks, as far as going up from an ARCA car to a truck, about the difference. I mean, you know, you got such high level of gravity, center of gravity in a truck. And my second question is, have you tested a truck yet?
Yes, you know, I've raced a total of six truck races in all one-off races, you know, from I think dating back to 2010, and the last one was a couple of years ago. So I do have a little bit of experience in it. And, you know, the center of gravity may be a little bit different, but the biggest thing for me, especially the intermediate track, is the aero. They're so big and boxy, and you can get a good draft when you're behind somebody, as opposed to the ARCA cars that are really, really sleek. But the tires are definitely a big difference as well. Going from the Hoosiers to the Goodyear is definitely a different feel in the seat. But like I said, it's definitely something that's going to take some adjustment to and to get used to. But the good thing is, you know, I'm kind of the only variable. Our crew chiefs and our other drivers that we have to be able to lean on at GMS Racing, they've all kind of been here and done that. So I'll be able to lean on them a good bit during 2016.
And Grant, just to add on what Jerry also mentioned earlier, that there's a lot of older drivers. I'm not going to say old. A lot of older drivers, like he mentioned, you know, Jeff Gordon stepping out of the way, Tony Stewart stepping out next year. And you got Chase Elliott coming up. And do you think you're in a position right now? I don't want to push your career along too fast, which I know you would love for it too. Do you think you're in a perfect position right now with the way your career has come about and blossomed to maybe step up after the trucks, Xfinity Series, and Sprint Cup?
Yeah, you know, I think number one is a race car driver. You got to be willing to embrace different opportunities. But yeah, I'm very, very happy. I feel like the truck series is where I need to be right now. That's where I need to be as far as my career goes and as far as where I want to go. And yeah, the ultimate goal is always to get to that cup level and to keep, you know, climbing the ladder, but you got to walk before you can run. And like I said, I feel like this is definitely the series I need to be in right now. And I'm really looking forward to 2016.
Grant, have you been kind of?
And I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jerry.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, I got one last question, Jerry. And I'll hand it back over to you, Grant. As you mentioned earlier, we talked about before Jerry came on. You know, you won the first three races in the ARCA series. You won Daytona. You won Mobile. And I don't want to talk about Will Kimball's crash here in Mobile, but you won the Nashville Fairgrounds. You won the first three there. Then you come down, you won at Berlin. Then you won DuQuoin. Then you won Salem. Which one of your wins was actually the toughest one, Grant? Does anything touch back in your mind about which of them six wins was your toughest?
You know, a few of them were pretty tough there. Probably the toughest one is the dirt race at DuQuoin. We had a really, really fast car, sat on the pole by a couple of tenths there, and went off to an early lead, and then just packed the radiator full of mud, overheated, dropped to the back, had to come in under caution and fill it back up with water, and the crew guys did a really good job of getting the mud out of the radiator so we could continue. But the motor got really hot. It started losing power, and just kind of a seize parted at the end of the race, and able to make a last lap pass for the win. So that was definitely one of the craziest, most eventful days we had this year, and that's definitely a special one that I'll remember.
good. Jerry, back over to you. And Grant, if you got time, we've got our reverend on the show, Reverend Joe Bubba Cole from out on the West Coast, my good friend Todd Bigsby up in the Northeast, his home track. He's walking. I think we're doing like a round table. So I'm gonna hand it back over to Jerry Bonkowski from NBC Sports. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, I just have two more quick questions for Grant. Number one, Grant, you know, have you kind of started studying your new opponents? I mean, I know you've had several one-off races in the Truck Series, but now you're going to be racing these guys, week in and week out. I mean, have you been kind of studying the tendencies of guys like Matt Crafton or Eric Jones? I mean, here's a guy 19 years old who wins the championship this year. I mean, have you been studying what they do? Have you been trying to maybe get some pointers or tips from how they race? And if so, is there anything you've picked up that you can share with us that you have picked up already?
You know, absolutely. You know, that's been the focus. And you know, we've wanted this for a long time. So I definitely pay attention to all the truck races that I can. I've gone to quite a few this year with our teammates at GMS Racing. And I've spotted for one race. I've just been a bystander at a few others. And I pay attention to it as much as I can. And there's always things you pick up any race you go to. But most of the pointers and the stuff that I've actually taken has been more track specific. There's tracks that I haven't been to personally, but been able to see, and you know, that stuff that I hope is going to help with the learning curve once we do make it there.
All right. And one other question I have, and I don't know if anyone's ever asked you this question, but I've been in this game for a long time, and I see a lot, and I mean this in a very good way. I see a lot of similarities in the way your career path has gone, as well as Greg Biffle's career path was. I mean, he started his career kind of late. He, he finally won a Truck Series championship, then he wins the Xfinity championship, and then he gets to the Cup Series. He was 32, 33 years old, and he's right now he's the senior driver in the Cup Series now. So, I mean, he didn't get up to the top level till the early to mid-30s. So that certainly has, I think, bodes well for you since you're 30 years old now. I mean, we could easily probably see you in the Cup Series maybe in about two or three years. So have you ever thought about somebody like him? I mean, or is there anybody else maybe you compare yourself to that you're kind of following their similar career path, so to speak?
You know, I have had that comparison, mentioned to me a couple of times, actually. And, I'm not really modeling my career path after anybody, more so it's trying to embrace the opportunities that I'm given and make the absolute most of them. I think it's pretty common to see young drivers enter the sport and enter the Cup Series, for that matter, on a pretty regular basis. That's something that's come around the last, decade and a half. It hasn't always been like that, but from a performance standpoint, there's no doubt in my mind that we can get the job done, and I can't perform there. Like I said, it's just a matter of getting that right opportunity and making it happen.
All right, exactly. Thanks, Grant.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Jerry. Thanks, Grant. Like I said, Grant, we've got we're doing our roundtable deal. I want to start with my good friend, Todd Bigsby from upstate New York. His home track is Watson Glen International. Todd, do you have a quick question for your 2015 ARCA Racing Series champion, Grant Anthony?
Yeah. Congratulations, by the way, on your championship and for the trucks. Everybody's been touching on your career and the racing. I'm going to touch on something. I'm going to be the oddball. What is your craziest fan moment?
Actually, my craziest fan moment wasn't actually even my fan. It happened at a truck race in Las Vegas a few years ago, and I was sitting in the autograph line next to Todd Bodine, and a woman hiked up her leg on the table and had Todd Bodine sign her leg. And I was like, all right, well, that's cool. And the thing was, she had a picture of Todd Bodine on her calf already. Had a picture of his face on her calf tattooed on there. and she was going to get the autographed inked in there too. So thought that was pretty cool. Hadn't seen that since then. And that's one of those things that it's like, man, you're really affecting this person at this point.
I follow you on Facebook and everything, so I like keeping up on you. So I really appreciate you taking the time to answer a question for me.
Yeah, thank you. Thank y'all very much.
Thanks, Todd. And Grant, one more. Our official reverend of the Pit Stop, the Tennessee Spanish, Stephen Wilson, he was out there in Paris, California. He done got married and moved up into Seattle. Reverend Joe, you got the floor, Mr. Grant Infinger.
Grant, congratulations, as everyone has said. You did a heck of a job this year. And it's always good to see a guy go through what you've gone through and do so well. So, first of all, congratulations on your championship. You worked hard to get there and went through a lot the last couple of years to get there. And I'm really glad that you're going to be in the Truck Series. I know you're looking forward to that, and luckily for you, there's a lot of good stuff in the Truck Series because you've got up-and-coming guys, and you've also got older guys who are not, who've done it all. Which ones are you going to lean on the most, do you think? I know you got Johnny Sauter on your team, which he's a great guy. I've known him for years. Which way do you lean the most?
Which way do I lean the most as far as what drivers that I will, kind of take to out there? I don't exactly understand the question.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Which ones do you think you'll take the most advice from? The ones that have been doing it a long time or that just are kicking butt right now?
Yeah, no, it'll definitely be the ones that have been doing it for a long time. But yeah, definitely going to start with our teammates. Like I said, definitely Johnny Sauter has a lot of experience right there, so he'll definitely be somebody you can lean on. And Spencer hasn't been doing it very long, but he has definitely improved a lot, especially this past year. But yeah, there's definitely quite a few guys out there that you kind of lean on some, and once you get out there racing, you'll realize who you want to take some advice from and who you don't.
Well, that's very, very true, and I'm excited for you to see you go into the Truck Series, though I think ARCA Racing's been real good to you, and I don't think 30's too old to be moving into Cup, though I've been around this racket 50 years, and these days it seems like guys come in really young, and they get the great rides, and they make the big jumps real quick. But I think the kind of experience you have is going to help you a lot because you've driven a little bit of everything on every kind of surface. So what's your take on how that's going to feed into how you approach the Truck Series, the different kinds of tracks you've driven, and the different kinds of cars?
It's going to do nothing but help me. I mean, the reality is, I've just done a lot of, I've been in a lot of different series, had a lot of experiences there, and I know I'm going to have some adjusting to do, but I got a little idea of what to expect. Like I said, since I have made a few Truck Series starts, and it's definitely going to be a learning curve, but I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm embracing it, and this is a really, really great opportunity for me, and I'm just pumped up about it.
Well, we'll be praying for you and keeping an eye on you all season, and I'm sure I'll get to run into you at several different racetracks, though the West Coast swing, guys don't, you do a one at the beginning and then we don't see you till the end of the season, but I know we'll be catching up with you, but we'll be rooting for you all year.
Well, thank you all very much.
Thanks, Reverend Joe. And Jerry, do you have any last thoughts for our 2015 ARCA Racing Series champion, Grant Infinger, before we let him go? I know his time's limited.
Yeah, Grant, I mean, you've already kind of alluded to it. I mean, this is a great challenge and a great opportunity for you going forward, but you got to admit, you're going to probably miss a lot of the guys in the ARCA series because, I mean, you kind of grew, your career grew up with those kind of guys, and You know, how much is it going to be? How difficult is it going to be to not be with those guys anymore?
You know, that's definitely going to be bittersweet. There's definitely a lot of guys that I'll stay in touch with, even if I'm not in the garage area. But I do plan on staying connected or making it to a race or two this year, even if I'm not driving. So you know, that part of it is going to be a tough deal. You know, you meet so many good people and you form so many relationships that you don't like to see them in.
Right. Well, I wish you the best. Going forward, you know, wish you a great season and a great career in NASCAR. Welcome to the club.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jerry. And Grant, thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule, as we do, like you've been on the last couple of times. You know, we've had you on over the past two or three years. We want to give you a chance to thank your sponsors and let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media, bud. You got the floor.
Yeah, definitely got to thank Allegiant Travel, Alamo Rental Car, Beasley Allen, Triple K Construction in Worth, USA. You know, that's who made 2015 possible. And yeah, you can check out TMSRacing.net. And my Twitter is pretty easy to follow. It's just @GrantEnfinger. And Facebook as well is just GrantEnfinger. So pretty easy to follow along with us. And we appreciate everybody's support.
You're welcome, Grant. And just like I keep saying, I can speak for everybody at SpeedwayDigest.com, the radio network, Pit Stop. Congratulations again, bud. We're very proud of you, especially being from my home state of Alabama.
Thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome, Grant. I'll see you in Dega, bud.
That sounds like a plan.
All right. Take care, bud. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Okay, that was Grant Enfinger, y'all. All right, Jerry, I know your time is limited also, but you said you could go a little bit longer. I want to talk about Jerry Bronkowski. We've never really got to talk about Jerry Bronkowski. Jerry, I didn't realize till I, you know, started doing some research. So you've covered pro and college sports for nearly 40 years. Now, when did you get into as far as the NASCAR side of it?
Man, you're making me feel real old here. I'm gonna start crying.
My bad. I'm sorry. Let's just say, let me back up. Jerry Bronkowski has been covering sports for a long time. We'll just leave it there.
For a long time. That's good enough. Well, I mean, I'll tell you. I mean, you know, I've always been a motorsports guy, and, you know, I initially started things in my career with covering the NHRA and the IndyCar series for USA Today when I was with them for 15 years. But I did do some NASCAR coverage during that time. In fact, I guess one of my favorite stories, my claim to fame, whatever you want to call it, I was in Phoenix in 1988 when Alan Kulwicki won his first race there, and he did the, you know, infamous Polish victory lap. And you know, over the years, I got to know Alan quite well, you know, it was really, you know, obviously a tragedy that he. He was killed, you know, less than 6 months after he won the championship in '92. And, you know, the irony, too, Tim, is that Alan, yesterday, I believe it was yesterday or day before yesterday, he would have been 61 years old. So, you know, he obviously died a very young man. And, you know, he was a great rags to riches story. And, like I said, I really got to know him fairly well. And, you know, he's from Wisconsin. I'm from Illinois. We had a lot of, you know, kinship there. We're both, you know, from Polish heritage. And you know, it was kind of, you know, my indoctrination, if you will, into the NASCAR world. And then, you know, things continued on. I wound up eventually going to ESPN to cover NASCAR, and then I went to Yahoo, and you know, now I'm with NBC. And it's been a really good ride. I really enjoy the people in the business, and you know, it's a fun sport to cover. I love the fans, love the drivers. You know, it's just it's what I do.
Yeah, and Jerry, we want to thank you for what you do for sport too. I mean, you know, Suzanne and I, you know, we got our media stuff too. But I ain't no writer. I can't type. I hunt and text. Stephen Wilson's the writer. But you know, since we started this deal, it's really blowed up. You really helped us. Lambert Reynolds, we talked to him. Him and Steve Post at MRN, they've really helped us out, and the show is really blocked. And you know, we're just having a blast covering everything. But Jerry, if I can, you know, I listen to a lot of SiriusXM NASCAR Channel 90, and you come on there a lot. Would you like to let everybody know exactly what your schedule is on SiriusXM NASCAR, or does it sort of vary?
Well, I've got a lot coming up over the next couple of weeks, and it's funny you should ask me that because, like this Saturday and Sunday, I'll be on from 9 until 12 Eastern. I'll be filling in for Pat Patterson on the front stretch. And then starting on the 27th, I'll be filling in for Jim Noble on Trading Paint that entire week. And then I've got Press Pass on, I think it's January 2nd. So I think I've got like eight or nine shows in a row that I'll be doing. And I oftentimes do a lot of work at the end of the year. You know, guys are on vacation, things like that. And I've been with Sirius now since 2002. Really enjoy it. You know, the people are great. And, you know, whenever I'm on the air, I really welcome the opportunity and always get a lot of nice compliments from the listeners. They'll call and say, hey, glad to hear you back on the air again, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, I really enjoy Sirius, and, you know, I think the best part of it is just the interaction with the listeners. I mean, you know, it's kind of like with my writing. I mean, I love to talk to people on Twitter or email, and doing it on the radio is just kind of an extension of that.
And, Jerry, don't be surprised if I call in Sirius. I've called in a couple of times. I've called in a couple of times, and everybody's put me on whenever I've called in. I hadn't called in 2 years. I've called in to Moody's. Moody, he gets all wound up sometimes, don't he?
Dave's good people. I like him. He's one of my favorite people in the business. And, you know, he's kind of like me. I mean, we kind of wear our emotions on our sleeves, but that's what makes, you know, us unique, I guess, in the sport, because, you know, we don't toe the party line, and we say what's on our mind. And, you know, Dave is, you know, obviously very outspoken, but, you know, he's the kind of guy that when he says something, you can take it to the bank. And if he says something, he'll back it up no matter what, 100%. And I really, and not only do I enjoy that, I respect that as a, you know, as a fellow broadcaster and a writer.
Exactly, Jerry. You know, I've talked to Dave at a few of the tracks. You know, we went to Darlington. You know, Suzanne and I were very fortunate. We went to Darlington. I can't remember where all we went this year. Atlanta. Anyway, but that throwback deal at Darlington, that 70s throwback, that was awesome. excuse me. I talked to Dave there, and I said, Dave, how did you put up with a – I don't want to call nobody out. Some of the questions that are not – that don't make no sense. Jerry, you know what I'm talking about. These people that call in on these questions, and you're like, man, where in the world did you come up with that from?
Well, you know, I look at it from a perspective that everybody has an opinion. They're entitled to it. Sometimes, you know, it may be they may not be able to convey what they want to say perhaps as clearly as they might like to, and it may, you know, it may sound like it's coming out of left field or off the wall kind of thing. But, you know, again, I respect everybody for calling in. I mean, you know, our livelihood is based upon, you know, on Sirius, is based upon fans calling in and, you know, giving us their take of things, you know, their opinions. So, you know, far be it from me to say, you know, somebody's, you know, strange or weird. I mean, you know, they just may not know how to say it. They may be nervous, you know. So I try to treat everybody the way I would like to be treated. You know, I try to be patient with them and, yeah, I'd say like 99.9% of the time, you know, we've always had, you know, very, very good luck. I mean, you know, there have been times where, you know, we've had some people that call in and, you know, you try to get them to be a little bit more relaxed, a little bit more comfortable. And once you get them at ease, then they really can, you know, they become really good talkers. And a lot of times it's just, you know, it's like stage fright, you know, that if they call in, like it's the first time they've ever called in or, you know, they don't know what to say. They may come off, you know, kind of the in a different fashion, but you know, once you get them to open up and be a little looser, they're fine.
Exactly, Jerry. So, like, you know, people taking stuff out of text. You know, we've seen that a lot. But just like Suzanne said, Suzanne's always told me. She said, Tim, you could talk to a freaking stop sign, and which I can, Jerry. But Jerry, I kind of we're coming up on the top of the hour. We've got Reverend Joe and Todd Digby from upstate New York here. But we're going to do our little roundtable about the ups and downs of NASCAR. What would you like to mention your, let's see, how can I say it, Jerry, the most turnaround? I know what mine's going to be. Mine's going to be Kyle Busch after Daytona wrecking and come back and winning the championship. What most stands out this year in the 2015 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series for you, as far as a moment?
As far as a moment, well, I think I'll agree with you as far as the overall year. I mean, Kyle Busch's story can't be top, but if there was one particular moment in the entire season that I would point to as, you know, my favorite, if you want to call that, was when Jeff Gordon won at Martinsville. I mean, that was just, not only was it emotional, but it was classic Jeff Gordon. It was a guy, you know, we hadn't seen that kind of emotion from him. And remember, this is a guy who's won, 93, 94 wins in his career. And, you know, he had won several races, obviously, since his last championship in 2001. But I can't recall ever seeing him as emotional and as fired up and as pumped up as he was after winning Martinsville. You know, the closest I can compare it to is in 2001 when he won his final championship, his fourth championship. So, it was just a very magic moment. I mean, you know, the darkness was coming in at the track, and, you know, it was getting really late in the race. You know, then of course the track doesn't have lights, and then to see Jeff win and then celebrate, you know, all the lights were on him while the rest of the track was, you know, essentially dark because they don't have the lights. It was just a very memorable moment for me to see that.
I would say too that would be my second moment. And, Jerry, I want to start with Reverend Joe. Reverend, do you have a question for Jerry Bonkowski from NBC Sports?
No, I just wanted to say that we very much enjoy what you do, Jerry. And the only question I would have for you is that I've done radio shows, I've done a little bit of TV, I've done writing for several magazines and news outlets, and would you not say that writing is a lot easier in the sense that you can write the story and you don't have to worry about getting stuck and strange questions in the middle of it, but the call-in show like you do on the radio is more thrilling?
Well, first of all, thanks for the kind words. And actually, I'm going to go the opposite direction. It's actually harder to write a story, in my opinion, than to be on the air, because, you know, when you're on the air, I'm like I am, you know, in real life. I mean, I don't put on any kind of a persona or any kind of fakeness. I mean, what you hear is what you get. But when it comes to writing, you know, there's a lot of challenges that you have to go through in the course of writing a story. I mean, there's length of a story. There's, you know, making sure, obviously, you have to make sure the facts are right. In most instances, you're getting the straight news and the facts out there, whereas on the radio, you can be a little bit more, conversational and things like that. And, you know, I mean, I've been in this business for such a long time that, you know, my wife always kind of says, you make it look so easy that you can just write a story in 20 minutes and, you know, it's, you know, 600, 800 words and, you know, it makes sense and people enjoy it. And, you know, that kind of comes from, you know, all the years I've been in it, but, you know, it still is a challenge, like I said. But, I mean, when I'm on the radio, I mean, you know, this is not an exaggeration. I can relax. I can be me. I don't have to worry about deadlines other than, you know, hitting the commercial times and all that kind of thing. You know, it's just kind of like, you know, going to sit down and, you know, having dinner or having a drink with a buddy and just, you know, kind of shooting the bull, so to speak. I just really enjoy that. I like the interaction. And plus, you know, on the radio, you have more immediate interaction and more engagement with the fans than you do, you know, writing. I mean, yeah, sure, you can get engagement, you know, with Twitter and Facebook and that kind of thing, but there's nothing more immediate than being on the radio and talking to somebody.
Well, I think what I was getting to, and I totally agree with you, is that when you're writing a story, you can look it over, reread it, and check out your facts and such before you send it to the publisher or publish it yourself. But
right.
The excitement on the radio is much more exciting in the fact that you don't know what's coming at you, so you're thinking more, and there is more fun because, like you said, people come up with questions that you'd have never dreamt of. And when you get into it, you realize they're seeing something that you're not seeing from a different angle that just makes your brain jump up and down with excitement as to, wow, I got another angle here.
Exactly. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, I like the idea that fans, you know, do have different opinions. They do have different perspectives. And, you know, it is refreshing when they give you an angle that, you know, either you haven't thought about or maybe you really haven't considered all that much. And, you know, the one thing that I always like to do, especially on the radio, is, you know, even if it's, you know, a question that comes out of left field, it's still an important question to the fan or the caller who's asking it. So, you know, I'm going to give them all the greatest courtesy I can and, you know, try to answer that question, you know, as best I can. I mean, certainly there's you draw a line, you know, whether it's on the air or if it's writing, you know, if fans, you know, get a little bit, if they step over the line, then, you know, you just kind of have to go in a different direction then. But, you know, 99% of the fans that call in, the listeners that call in, you know, they understand, you know, their role, they understand my role, and, you know, we just try to keep moving things along. And, you know, especially like at this time of year, like I was saying to Tim a little while ago, I'm going to have a lot of shows coming up here over the next couple of weeks, and, you know, it can be at times difficult to get guests at this time of year. It can be very difficult to get fans to call in at this time of year, and, you know, dead air is the worst thing a broadcaster can have. So it's kind of you know, a big challenge, if you will, sometimes to come up with, you know, entertaining concepts that, you know, that can engage the fans, that can get them to call in, to, you know, to be be on the excuse me to be on the air. So, you know, you know, we've had shows in the past where we've had very few callers, and it's just, you know, it's up to me to really, you know, carry the show. And, you know, if we have to change topics, we do. And I'll tell you one thing, and Tim, I'm sure you're going to agree with me on this one. If you ever have a problem where you're, you know, you're on the air and you don't have anybody calling in, or, you know, there's just, you know, it's kind of like dead air, start talking about Dale Jr. Those phone lines will light up immediately. That's my big go-to. It's my little secret, you know.
Exactly. You know, just like you say, Jerry, just like whenever we started all this deal, you know, just like Steve Post and Woody Cannon, everybody told us that dead air, you don't want. You don't want dead air. And, you know, I was very fortunate enough back in the spring here at Talladega. I got a call from Thunder 92.7, the local MRN affiliate here, and they cover the ARCA race. So I got to actually be a pit reporter and actually cover the ARCA race live on Thunder 92.7 FM from Talladega. And I sent Woody text to Kane. Woody Kane a text. And I said, Woody, I said, I'm a little bit nervous. He said, Tim, radio, just like you agree, Jerry, you have to paint the picture because you're not watching TV. And he said, if you screw up, keep going. Just don't nobody know.
Exactly. That's very, very true. Totally agree with that.
Exactly. And, Jerry, I know you're great to stay on at the top of the hour. We're going to go ahead and do our 2015 moments and stuff. But, Jerry, thanks again for being a great friend, and thank you for what you do for our sport we call NASCAR. And let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media, bud. You got the quote.
Well, I mean, my social media, it's like Grant Anfinger was saying, it's my name, Jerry Bonkowski. And, you know, you can always read my stuff at NBC Sports. NASCAR talk. I also do motorsports talk on NBC Sports. Like I said, I'm also on SiriusXM quite a bit. Got a lot of shows coming up over here the next few weeks. And, you know, if you get a chance, tune in and give me a call. Always welcome to have folks join us. You know, we've got some end-of-year stuff we're going to be working on because I'm going to be doing, you know, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And, you know, I'll be definitely looking forward to recapping some of the things that have gone on in 2015. And would welcome, you know, fans calling in and saying, hey, you know, this was important to me and this is why it was important. And I just love that kind of thing. So, Tim, as always, thank you for your friendship. You do a great job here on the Pit Stop. And, you know, I look forward to being joining you again here soon. And it's been a while, but I'm glad you had the invitation to have me come on, and look forward to talking to you again in the real near future then.
You're very welcome, Jerry. And you know you're always welcome. Suzanne and I's next race, we're going to Atlanta. What's your next race, Jerry, or have you even thought about it yet?
You know, I haven't even thought about it. I mean, 2016 could be a very big year for me. I've got some other things I'm working on that, in addition to what I'm doing with NBC, and, you know, I'm kind of in a waiting game, you know, kind of waiting to see where things are going to kind of play out, and you know, if I'll be doing more races in person and that kind of thing. So as they like to say in the business, check back with me in a month or two. I'll have a little more news for you.
There you go. Jerry, thank you very much. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you and yours. And it's not really off-season for riders because Stephen's wide open too. But, again, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and thanks again for being a good friend, bud. And I will probably be calling SiriusXM NASCAR Channel 90. I will talk to you these holidays.
All right. Well, Tim, same to you and Suzanne and your family, and great holidays to you, and looking forward to a great 2016. And, again, thanks for having me on, and we will talk with you soon then, okay?
You're welcome. Thanks, bud. That was Jerry Barnkowski, NBCSports.com, SiriusXM Channel 90, NASCAR. Okay, Todd Bixby, Reverend Joe. Jerry just said his most famous moment of the year was I was looking at my text. Grant Finfinger was texting me. I was looking at that and trying to think, too. Just like Jerry says, you have so much going on. Okay, one of my big moments was Kyle Busch after his bad wreck at Daytona. And then he comes back and wins the championship. Well, Jerry Barnkowski's big moment was Jeff Gordon winning at Martinsville and punching his ticket to Homestead, Miami. Let's start with Todd. Todd, what's your big moment for the 2015 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series?
Oh, I would have to say with Dale Jr. getting his win to get in the chase.
Okay, that was Todd's. Reverend Joe, what do you think? What was your big moment?
Well, first of all, let me preface this with the fact that in the 50 years I've been racing, the number on my race car has almost always been 18. So I always favor guys with number 18 to some degree. So I'm a little bit prejudiced that way. And all the years that Joe Gibbs Racing's been in business, I've known them well and good friends with Norm Miller from Interstate and whatever. And whoever was driving the 18 car, I always asked them if they were sure they were 18 worthy. And Kyle Busch has been one that I've kind of ridden over the years a bit. And I was so thrilled and think it was a great, great moment for him to make the comeback and win the championship. But I go back to earlier, I mean, when you consider the fact that he was pretty darn rowdy a few years ago, which I'm not saying he isn't now, but getting married, committing his life to Jesus Christ, having a child, getting through that wreck, were all fantastic moments in NASCAR in general. When he got out of that car at Daytona in the Xfinity race, I was thrilled by the fact that I know, I've been around it long enough, how hard a hit that was. And I was thrilled to see him pretty much pull himself out of that car under his own power. But then to do all he did, to work his way back and to pull off that championship, all of that in my mind were great, great moments. And I'd agree also with the other great moments. I mean, it was great to see Jeff Gordon so excited and so thrilled. It was like he was when he won Daytona for the first time. You know, those are you can't make this stuff up. And that's the one thing I love about auto racing. Every lap is different. It's not like other sports where there's, you know, here we got 43 teams on the field at once. And on any given Sunday, you never know who's going to come out on top. And it was just an exciting thing. I mean, there were some things that happened in that race with Jeff that changed the outcome. But still, a winner is a winner is a winner. And to watch how excited he was thrilling.
Exactly. Suzanne and I were very fortunate enough to go not to the chase race this year there at Martinsville, but to one last year, and it was pretty awesome too. But let me jump back to the NASCAR Temple World Truck Series. And Reverend Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you were in Vegas whenever Austin Terry Hope hit the wall a ton. I mean, he hit it a ton where there was no safer barrier. It actually broke his Hans device.
Well, you know, I was there. We watched that. We watched the reruns on the TV screens. But, you know, like I told you, I've been involved with this sport over 50 years. And for years I've been trying to get through to people that this is a very dangerous sport. It's not as dangerous as driving to work on the average day, but it's an extremely dangerous sport. And every one of us that straps into a race car knows how dangerous it is. We do it because we love it, and we also know, we also tell ourselves it's not going to happen to us, which helps us get through it. But that hit was unbelievable. I was just thrilled that he wasn't more seriously injured, but we didn't know for hours. But at the same token, I've discussed with several officials who are friends of mine, the fact that in some ways we've made the sport too safe. And I know that sounds a little bit rough, but what I mean by that is because things have changed so much and things are so safe in so many ways, a lot of these drivers, especially the younger ones, take chances that they wouldn't take 10 years ago because of the fact that you could get hurt worse. And I think the accident with Kyle Busch and then the one against with Terry at Vegas pointed out that no matter what we do, you can find a way to get hurt in a race car. It's just what it is. And that was a scary moment because, you know, Betty turned to me and said, "Wow, that was hard." And I looked and I said, "Wow, it sure was." And then we watched the replays and realized that, you know, as always, he really had nothing to do with it. And once he got clipped, he was just along for the ride and just managed to find the wrong spot to hit.
Exactly, Redman. You know, just like you mentioned earlier, you know, the younger drivers coming up, you know, like you mentioned, the sport has gotten so safe, everybody gets lax. I mean, you know, just like with Austin Terryhope there at Vegas, if there's a will and a way, that vehicle can find to hit a spot where there's no safer barrier, just like Kyle Busch did at Daytona. He hit where there's no safer barrier. Todd, what's your take on the safer barriers? Or what's your take on Austin Terryhope, his hard crash here in Vegas versus Kyle Busch's hard crash in Daytona?
Well, I think his was more of a harder impact than Kyle Busch's. It's sad that it happened, but, I mean, thank God that, you know, everyone was okay and everybody healed. So maybe for 2016 we might see a little difference in the safety barriers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have discussed that. When I went over to the media event at the Audubon Speedway for Tyler Super Speedway, I talked with Timothy Peters and talked with him about that hard hit and Daniel Hemric. And I asked Daniel the question when we had our little media event over there: should NASCAR police the safer barrier laws, or should the tracks actually do it? And, well, you know, I didn't really get a good response. I mean, you know, because, I mean, you don't want to throw the card out there in front of the horse and mess, you know, throw all that out there. But, I mean, like we've all talked about, like you said, Reverend Joe, if it can't happen, it will. Everybody knows it's a dangerous sport. But, Reverend Joe, what's your take on the safer barrier?
Well, I like the safer barrier, but I think it also brings other problems into play, because two things happen with the safer barrier. Number one, it does make guys make moves that they might not make if there was a solid concrete wall there, for one thing. But also on a lot of these tracks, it's narrowed the track in spots where they were already narrow. And that makes it a little tougher because we lost room where we were needing it. there's many tracks, for especially almost every track I've ever been to, seems like turn four, for some reason, at most tracks, seems to be the one that closes up the quickest on us. Even local tracks that I race at all over the place, and I've raced almost everywhere in the country, you seem to come through four and the track gets narrow. Now you put a safer barrier on it, and you just narrowed it up another few feet. That makes it tougher. And safer barriers are great, but cool heads are the biggest thing that sometimes we lose in NASCAR and in local track racing. One of the things that got to me a bit with the whole safer barrier discussion this year was how many fans called into shows, sent in emails, and so on and so forth, complaining, why doesn't NASCAR insist on safer barriers everywhere on every track? And what got me was several of the tracks that people were mentioned are owned by NASCAR. So there's a lot of money involved in doing these things, and nothing against the management of these racetracks, but the truth of the matter is so many of them are owned by NASCAR other corporations. So NASCAR is spending its own money to do these things technically. So to blame a place like Talladega, like, for instance, why doesn't NASCAR force them to put in more safer barriers? Well, NASCAR owns a piece of that action. Bruton Smith, who owns a lot of racetracks, has been very, very good at fixing problems whenever they're available, possible, and changing things. But do any of us really know where the next problem is going to be exactly? I mean, lately I've been watching some films from the old days, and there were some really good videos on Facebook lately where four cars wide going into the corner, I can't remember if it was Daytona or Talladega, and made it through the corner four wide. And then the next lap, one of them went clean over the fence and disappeared. And those were 1971, 72 Chryslers. You know, they didn't have the protection in the cars we have today. They didn't have the equipment we have today. The walls weren't like we have today. Yet they walked away. And yet we've seen other accidents that looked like total nothing. And we had a driver seriously injured, or we lost them completely. So it's hard to say what the answer is. I think cooler heads and some logic make a big difference, because all the years I've been in the sport, I drove my own cars. I did well, but I never stuck my car into the wrong spot to take a chance to move up one more spot when backing out for another lap and taking another run at it made more sense. Today, when these guys don't own their cars and there's so much safety protection, you don't think about it as much. And that's part of the problem. Don't you think so, Todd?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
Todd, if I can, Reverend Joe, just to touch on the statements you made about Talladega Super Speedway. After the incident at Daytona, Grant Lynch and his staff did put safer barriers around every inch of Talladega Super Speedway.
Yep. No, they did a fantastic job. Absolutely. But, you know, there again, like I said, it's a good thing, and I'm glad they did. But that speedway is owned by, and technically, by a corporation owned by NASCAR. So when the fans want to complain, is all I was saying, that NASCAR should force tracks to do these things, they're also having to force themselves, more or less.
Right. Okay. Sorry about that. Thank you for letting me butt in there, Todd. Go ahead, bud.
No, you're fine, Tim. You know, and as far as, like, certain tracks in certain areas that didn't have a safety barrier, I've seen it where they've gone in and put in the rubber tires to help cushion it and stuff, you know, because of the funding and stuff, you know, and I give them all credit, you know, they put in what they could, you know, efficiently as they could. So I give them all credit for doing everything they can.
Yeah, I do too. I totally agree with that. I do too, Todd.
Yep.
I do too, Todd. And gentlemen,
we're getting up a little bit late.
I'm gonna see if I can get Suzanne to rattle some pots and pans and eat. Reverend Joe, this is our final show of 2015. We're taking off. Any last thoughts? You got the floor.
I just want to say thank you so much for having me on your show this year. Look forward to 2016. I thank all those that have helped us out this year. I want to say, let's not forget the holiday season. The word holiday comes from the old word holy day. And we need to make every day a holy day in our minds and realize that without God's help, we don't do anything. And remember the reason for the season is the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And he came here as a human being, gave up his ability to be God in order to save us. And remember that this season. And please, if you have questions about such things, you want to argue about such things, don't be afraid to call me, text me, email me, whatever it may be. I'm looking forward to next season. I'm praying for everyone to have a very wonderful, safe, and happy holiday season and a wonderful new year. Let's all think about others a little bit more this year, this coming year, and be a little bit better person to everyone around us.
Todd?
First off, I want to thank Tim, Susan, Stephen Wilson, Emery, everybody for the most wonderful year that a fan could ask for. Everything that you guys have done, you know. So, you know, it's awesome for everything that you guys do, and I enjoy calling in each and every week and hearing all the updates and all the stories. It's just wonderful. And, you know, I want to say happy holidays and happy new year to each and every one of you.
Thank you very much, Todd, for the kind words. Reverend Joe, thank you very much for the kind words. We're going to sign off. We're going to say Merry Christmas. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll talk to y'all in 2016. Live from Talladega, Alabama, you were in the pit stop with Dennis Payne and Stephen Wilson.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay.
Make the Yuletide gay.
From now on, our troubles will be miles away. Here we are as in olden days. Happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. Through the years we all will be together, if the fates allow. Hang a shining star upon the highest bough, and have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
Here we are.
all will be together if the fates allow. Hang a shining star upon the highest bar. Christmas now.